It's good. Hi, everyone. Good evening. I almost said good morning. It's not morning. How's everyone doing?
Great.
Good? Oh, come on. How are you doing? No. Don't talk to you in public. Sorry. They make you embarrassed. Sorry. Sorry. Just okay. Anyways, I'm glad everyone's here. And my name is Scott, by the way. It's my wife, Jenny. If we haven't had a chance to meet you, we're thrilled you're here with us today. And just trusting God continue to his sweetness to impact us and show us his love. That's really our goal as we're here for him. We're here for Jesus and his goodness and his kindness in our life. Hey, tonight's going to probably feel a little bit different I feel like God's wanting to kind of bring us back to kind of some clarity of who we are as a people. Just been sensing the last few weeks that there's a shift coming. There's a deepening coming in us. There's something he's doing in our community that I think we'll see tangibly in the future. But I feel like there's some invitation personally here. So it's going to be a little more in depth. You said you love vision, so here we go. Strap it on. Let's go. We are just a couple of things I feel like God's put in our hearts, in my heart, as we are moving forward. So we're going to be in Psalms 27 in just a little bit. Psalm 27. You guys are welcome to go there. Hey, there's two words. One of the ways, and some of you guys might relate with this, one of the ways God speaks to me is he'll bring this kind of rando thought in my brain. And I know it's him because it's peaceful, because it's clear, because it feels like an invitation to relationship. You guys know what I'm talking about? His voice is always that way, right? And one of the ways he speaks to me at times is he'll just this passing thought. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm being invited into something and I just can't get away from it. It'll come to mind when I'm in the shower, when I'm driving, when I'm just kind of thinking. So there's two words for the last 2 months that God keeps bringing to mind. And when he brings it up, I just say, well, what are you saying, Lord? What do you want to teach me about it? What's on your heart? And so I'm wanting to focus in on those two words because I feel like they're for us. The first one is culture. And the second one you have to wait on. Just kidding. Can't wait. It's going to be amazing. The first one's culture, okay? So we just got back 2 days ago from Portugal. And so it is a miracle I'm standing right now. It is many hours. Like last night, about 6:30, we're eating dinner and we're like, let's go to bed, you know? So jet lag is real and I'm feeling it, but we're in it. So I'm glad to be here. So we just got back from Portugal. So one of the things that struck me, if you don't know, so we live 14 years on the field and 2.5 were in Germany, 11 were in Portugal. So this is the first time we've gone back since we left. And so it was an interesting time to see old friends, to see old familiar places, to drive past our old home, to see people that were part of our church that we had planted, to see this. We ran a retreat center for pastors and missionaries. So just to experience a lot of those things that we loved and places that were hard that we went back to. And I don't know, I'm still working through it, but I'm thankful for it. But one of the things that impacted me was culture. Has anyone been to Portugal, by the way? Oh, can we go this summer? You guys want to go to Portugal this summer? Like, can we sign up now? Portugal's amazing. I've been actually to a lot of countries, and Portugal is mysterious and beautiful, and I'm slightly biased, but I'm telling you, it's an amazing place. But it's deeply rich in culture. So what is culture? Help me out. What's culture? How do we define culture?
Art, norms.
What?
Art.
Okay, from the back of the house. Art, okay? So what does art have to do with culture?
Reflexive.
It's reflexive.
Reflective.
Reflective. It reflects the people's preferences, the people's values, right? When we look at art, we see who the people are. And that's musically, right? That's paintings, that's poetry, all that stuff. It reflects the people. What else defines culture?
Food,
David said, all right, that's right. Food's real, absolutely. And Portugal's got some food, folks. It's incredible. We feasted well while we were traveling. Food, yeah, what's something else? Culture, yeah, James.
How people in a place solve problems.
That's great, yeah, absolutely. How people solve problems, that's awesome, absolutely. And for Portugal, as with most countries, the history is riddled with wars. and with religious battles and crazy things. And every time Portugal has their way of solving their problems, sometimes in not good ways, but other times, okay, what else? Yeah.
What they believe in.
Okay, belief system, more like religion. Yeah, religious systems. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That defines a people, right? And it makes a people rich and deep. Yeah.
Patterns of people.
Patterns of people? What do you mean?
Like rhythms, traditions.
Okay, okay. So like Spain has siestas. Is that what you mean? Kind of the rhythms of life. And yeah, that's good. Absolutely. In Portugal in August, everything closes almost. I mean, except for like the big tourist areas. But August is like vacation time. It's wild. We lived for the most of the time we were there in a small town, and it was like August, and like everyone's gone. It's wild. But it's that patterns of people. That the first August, we were like, where did everyone go? I just need to go to the grocery store, and it's not open, you know, or whatever. Just, yeah.
Can you say language?
Language, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So culture is defines a people. Culture is something that is intangible. That you like when we were in Portugal, we were eating at one of our favorite restaurants called Anaratu, and I wish I could take you there with us right now. It was a late lunch, and there was a young couple that was obviously in love, eating their burger and hamburger and talking closely. And there's a mother and a daughter behind us. There was probably a dozen or so. Early 30s friends having a late lunch together, talking and laughing and in this restaurant. And I remember just going, just taking a breath and going, this is culture. This is the people. And I looked out the window and I looked at the downtown buildings and the bright colors and the people bustling by. And I just thought, this is the richness of the Portuguese people. Okay. And it struck me and it impacted me. Okay, so we're going to turn a corner because this isn't about our trip. Here's my question. Our young adult and queer community, who are we? If someone were to walk in here tonight and they're new, what would they say about us? What would they say about you? If they came to your life group, what would they leave and get in the car and go? People wouldn't necessarily go, the culture of that life group is da da da. But there would be impact. There would be intangible impacts that happen in people by just interacting with us. Would they walk into your life group and they say, man, those people love each other and there's something different about their love? They walk in your life group and go, it's kind of boring, actually. It's okay. I'm not being critical. Okay. We all have been life groups that way. I mean, not you guys, but we've all been life groups that way, right? We're like, we just need more Jesus to show up right now because we need some more life here, right? What would they experience when they come on a Sunday morning and they walk in and they go, oh, there's a bunch of people over there that look like my age. I'm going to go sit by them. What would they walk out on Sunday morning saying that those people are distinctively different and I want what they have? That was my story. Grew up in the church. And walked away from God freshman year, kind of did all the whatever to try to figure out to fill the big holes in my soul and couldn't fill them. And I remember going back to a church that I had kind of church hopped freshman year and my sophomore year. And I was like, these people are really weird how they worship, like really weird, but there's something about them that I need. There's something about how they relate. There's a purity about them. There's a holiness about them. There's a worship that's authentic. And it's culture. I stepped into something that when I started to go, man, I got to walk with God, to get my life right with him. Those are the people I want to be like. Yeah. It's culture. Okay, are we tracking?
Good.
Yeah. So I'm wanting us to hold on to that for a minute and to be able to think about your own life, about your life group, about you and your roommates, or if you're married, your spouse, or your home. What is your culture? Who are you? What would people say about you if they don't know you and they walk in and interact with you and your friends? Culture is a lot of time defined by how we joke, what we look at. Probably the greatest definer of culture is what happens in your life and my life in a secret place. When no one's watching, what do we look at? What do we talk about? What do we think about? And we bring it back into our relationships, and it taints relationships if it's not pure and holy. Conversely, if we have a secret life in God that's deep and rich, and we start looking like him because we're with him, when we get around other people like that, something happens. We all start looking a little more like Jesus. Culture. Okay? So tonight, what I want us to do is to dial into who we are. There's just five key things I want us to see. And as I do, I really, my desire is that our hearts would say, God, amen, even more. Yep. These are my people. Amen. Those people, my sophomore year, and I went back and went to that church I thought was weird. They're still my family. It's Antioch. It was before Antioch. It was a different church that Antioch got planted out of. But we were like, we were transformed by the that culture of those people to the point that 25, 30 years later, we say, this is still our family. We are 110% in. And all families have dysfunction. All families are weird. I know. But the culture changed us because we saw Jesus in it. Okay? So here's the other word. I said there's two main words going through my mind. Culture, and the other word is simplicity. And I keep hearing Holy Spirit say to me, Scott, simplify your life. Simplify your life. And I'm just, even when we're in Portugal, it kind of like, God, what does that mean? How do I slow down? How do I simplify my life? And I'm wanting us to hone in on, we look at who we are generally in a culture, but I want to say, can we simplify ourselves to just say, this is who we are. This is where we're going. Because if God's deepening us and he's bringing more of his glory in our community and into our life groups and on a Sunday morning and into our neighborhoods and our workplaces, it has to start with me and you. Because I define culture. When I get with other people, we define culture. We define who we're going to be. Okay? That's why it's so dangerous if you're struggling with things in life that you pull away and isolate. It's super dangerous for you, and it's super impactful to the community that loves you. Conversely, if you're struggling, if you're having a hard time and your tendency is to want to pull away and hide, don't do it. Run to your people. Run to your community. Culture is defined at times by our struggles and how we respond to those things. Okay, we will define culture, each of us. Okay, we had Psalms 27. So here's the picture I had as we're talking about simplicity. A couple different, has anyone ever like tried to rip a dead stump out of the ground? Anyone done that before? Tanner's like, yeah. Tanner came over to my house. We first moved here and he helped me. It was bad. Okay. Some people have done it. It's hard work. Like a tree died, you cut it down, there's a stump, and it's like, it's really hard work. Why? Because some trees have roots that grow two different directions, outward, and then they have what's called a tap root, and it goes really deep and it's really thick. So if you're trying to get a tree, a stump out of the ground, you have to deal with both sets of roots. So it is with God right now, and where he's leading us is he's deepening us. Like he's helping our roots go not only wider, but deeper. And it's personal. It's you and Jesus. What does tomorrow morning look like with you and Jesus? I think he's making it easier for us to access him. I think what he's inviting us into is a life where we get to step over some of our pain that's been a hindrance to us, or that struggles, the difficulties. I think what he's doing is he's actually saying, it's time to run, but let me deepen you first. That's what we're stepping into. Okay, so Psalms 27. This whole thing is good. I was going to read 4 through. Let's do the whole thing. You guys want to do the whole thing? Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Everyone there? Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing, and I'm going to bring us back to a couple verses in the middle. So the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't know about you, but I read those sentences, and I just want to worship. Yeah. Isn't that good? You just want to stop and go, God, you're my light and my salvation. When life feels dark, God, you are my light. You guys ever have times where life feels dark? You don't know where to go? He's my light and my salvation. We can go here and stay here all day long. This is truth that gets us above our emotions and above our situation, okay? You're my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Verse 2, when the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army beseech me, you ever felt that way? Like an army's beseeching you? Yeah. Come on. Anyone human here? Has anyone ever felt that? Like, an army's beseeching me. I feel overwhelmed. Yes, we all feel that. Come on, guys. There's like five of you that said yes. Max all over it. Yeah, that's right, girl. Okay, I raise my hand. We all have felt that at times. Like, life feels overwhelming, okay? So this is David speaking, and he's like, though, no, let's see, where was I? An army beseech me. Sorry, my foggy brain. There are three. Thank you. Though an army beseech me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Here we go. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I would dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of the sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. What a promise. Verse 6, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. That's so good. There you go. Anyway, I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face, and your face, O God, I will seek. You just feel that resolve. My heart says, seek him, so I will seek him. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my Savior, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. There's a promise. If you have a broken home right there, it's a promise for us, because I do too. I came from a broken home, and this is my landing spot for years of healing I received. Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, shouting malicious accusations. Oh, I think we've all been there. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Oh, so good. I was, two nights ago, I was laying in bed and I was just thinking about some stuff, just some things that were hard in Portugal. And my brain was just kind of spinning a little bit. You guys know what that happens like? I can't sleep. My brain's spinning. I wish I could just, that thought would go away. And that was that moment for me. And I was like, oh, this isn't okay. God, what's your truth? And this verse came to mind. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. And you know what I did? I just went, oh, God, thank you that for years I've meditated on this passage. Because it came out of me in a time of trouble. And I fell asleep saying, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. I fell asleep that way. I woke up, unfortunately, it was about 1:30 in the morning. Oh, mercy. It's been a rough couple nights, but jet lag. But I woke up at 1:30 in the morning. You know what was going through my mind when I woke up? One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. This is who I am. This is who we are as a people. Okay, so if you like to write in your Bible, let me encourage you to underline two words. We're going to verse 4. Dwell, gaze, and seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and that I may seek him in his temple. This is David's resolve. Historians believe that he's either being chased by Saul to kill him, or it's Absalom's, his son, trying to rebel against him and overthrow him in his kingdom. David is in deep trouble here, and he goes, there is one thing I need. I will dwell, I will gaze, and I will seek. I will dwell, I will gaze, and I will seek. We can spend the rest of our life dwelling, gazing, and seeking. Because there's only one thing that really, really matters. And everything else, our jobs, our homes, our families, if you're single, if I'm gonna get married, if you're married, if I'm gonna have kids, just all the questions of life. Is my family gonna be healed? All the questions of life would come back to one thing. One thing. This is simplicity. This is who we are. There's one thing that I long for. So check out. So David, verse 4. One thing I ask the Lord, this is what I seek, that I dwell, that I gaze, that I'd seek. Verse 5. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in my dwelling, or in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Okay? Check out the flow of this for just a minute. David's like, there's one thing I want, only one. And then he goes, oh, wait, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. I want us to see the positioning of pain. He puts the one thing above the struggle. He doesn't say, oh, let's see, I'm going to focus on all my troubles right now for the day of trouble. I'm going to be not safe. I'm not sure what's going on. And he goes on in verse 6 and he says, my enemies are surrounding me. He doesn't put that first. He says, there is one thing I seek. Yeah. Oh yeah, by the way, God, there's some things I need help with. Yeah. So in the last 24 hours, if we could just take a record real quick of like everything you've talked to God about, I'll put it for me so you don't feel so weird. If I could line up everything, I'm like, those moments of prayer, those moments of conversation with him, would all of them fall in that category of there's one thing I long for? Oh yeah, by the way, God, this isn't okay. I need help. Oh yeah, right now, God, our finances are struggling. Can you help, God? Oh yeah, my family's this situation, by the way. But God, there's one thing. Okay, does that make sense? There's a centering here. There's one thing. If we can center that and say, this is the one thing we long for and we live for, everything else fits underneath it and makes more sense. Yeah. If we put our pain, the enemies going against us, everything that he describes here on top of it, it's always going to be, that's going to be our focal point. Or if we could say, that's going to be the thing we worship. If this changes, then I'll worship. If this changes, then I'll show up to church. If this changes, then I might get more hungry. And God's flipped the script. And he's actually saying, there's one thing we long for. This is who we are. Okay? So what I want to do is just give us five kind of distinctives, imperatives, if you will, of who we are as a people. So Patrick, can you bring those up? This is the first one. We will have an intimate, consistent relationship with Jesus that grows trust in him and leads to a radical obedience of him. If you're not spending time with him every day, your one thing isn't in the right place, just honestly. And if you're struggling with what does that mean to even spend time with him? Is it law? Is it rules? Is it whatever? And I would just want to submit to you, how do you deepen your most important relationship in your life? You spend time with him. You exchange conversation, you exchange thoughts, you exchange emotions, you exchange time with that person, and your relationship is intimate. Why in the world would we ever think that our relationship with God is any different? Okay, he's not someone we put in our back pocket and go on with our day. He's the one that we say, we start with you, and we end with you, and you fill our day, God. Okay? So this is the first one because I want us to see it. And if you're struggling, you're like, I don't know, get time with Jesus. I'm not sure what to do. We will help you. There are so many different ways. So many different ways. But what we're after is intimate encounters, intimate time with him. And some of you guys, I know you get up and you're like, I got to be at work at 5:30 in the morning. And that's tough. But my question is, have you asked God, how do you spend time with him every day? We have responsibilities with work, absolutely. Now, God, how do I pursue you? How do I meet with you? How does it look? And then do you bring in your life group? Do you bring in your friends and you say, hold me accountable. I want to grow in relationship with him. Okay, so what we're going to be doing the rest of the year is we're actually going to have different people in our community share how they spend time with Jesus because I want to get really practical. So tonight, we get Cassandra. Come on up. So what I asked Cassandra to do is just give us a couple minutes about her, take us into her time with Jesus. What does it look like? And free reign, I think this is okay. Like none of this is copyrighted. So feel free to do everything she just talks about, okay? But what I know about Cassandra is she's a woman of God. Yeah. She's walked with him for years. Yeah. I respect her deeply. There's a reason I asked her to share this. So yep.
Hi, everyone. I'm Cassandra. I don't think I know everybody here, but I lead life group. Shout out to Tess and Lindsay I lead with. So when Scott asked me, I was like, okay, Lord, where do you want me to start? Obviously, yes, I do spend time with him. It's different, meaning journaling is one of the big things. But it's not just like writing. It's also drawing. He gives me pictures and things like that. And so I can go more into detail with that, but I feel like before even starting, I feel like the Lord wanted me to kind of just state to everybody here, like, we all have different walks with the Lord, like, wherever we are in the walk with Jesus, and I think he wanted me to state this out loud as far as just a truth, and that truth is, no matter where you're at in your walk with the Lord, he speaks, and I feel like he's saying, because in that personal time, he hears you, he sees you, and he wants to speak to you, and I feel like that's very important. And I feel like you want to say that to everybody here. But like I said, journaling is my way of just being with him. So I wanted to kind of just make it seem like how I usually do it. I am in my room. I sit on the floor. So I'm going to sit with you guys here. And I have my journal. I have my Bible out. Study Bible, different translations, however you want to do it. And I literally am just, first thing I have is I also have sticky notes. I'm a sticky note person. I don't. and I use the brightest color. I like my favorite, like, I don't really like the color pink, but it's bright and it's there. And I have questions where I sit with him. And those are just reminders of where God wants me to kind of just point to him and look at him. And a lot of it is, one of the statements on there is, how am I going to radically choose to live by God's purpose? So I'm like, that's one of the things I see. And then aside from that, I also do declarations. So that's usually like the first thing that I do in my Bible time. As soon as I sit down, obviously grab my stuff, take a breath, and I declare. And if you're like, what are declarations? They're simply, basically, just declaring the truth of what God's word over myself. And like, I'll give you two. I wrote down two. So like, I'm a child of God, and he is my loving father. Like, simple. It is a truth. And it just makes me reflect on some Bible verses within that goes with it, like John 1:12 or Romans 8:14. And then another one was like, I am God's dwelling place. God the Holy Spirit lives in me, and he will never leave me. And like, those verses are just like things that just kind of like remind me of who God is. Because like, I will say, like, my Bible time is in the morning, but also, like Scott said, we have jobs. We all have things that we go through too as well. And sometimes I sleep in and I'm like, all right, God. But the thing is that he is very gracious with me, and there's times I am very much a night person, and I have that Bible time at night as well. And I feel like it's not more of like a checklist for me. It's more of like, do you know, God, I want to go to you. This is where I want to just hear and listen to you. And so that's what those declarations for myself are. And especially if you see, like, in my place, in my bathroom, there's sticky notes there. There's a sticky note at my office. There's a sticky note in my car. Just thinking, like, let's think purposely on his word. Like, and those are just simple reminders of what I am listening and what God is speaking to me throughout the day. And so when it comes to, like, practicality and what that looks like I said, sit down, declare those truths. And the next thing I jump into is a worship song. I have this worship song that just literally plays, lay on the floor, or just stand up, however I want to worship and wherever I feel like God is asking me to do. And I just let it go. I don't dance, but God does that in those moments in my secret place. and then in that, I will state, like, before even worship starts, I'm just like, Lord, just be in my room with me, speak to me, be here with me. And that's the simplest prayer that I do. Listen to the worship song. And then as soon as that's done, I jump into my study. I open up the word. And the way I do my Bible studies are basically, I just ask the Lord as far as I say, like, according to what book I'm in. So, like, I'm in the book of Ephesians right now. And this is one of the things that I learned. Like, I've walked with the Lord since I was 7, and God has been very gracious, and I've always loved to read the word. It's something that I was very attracted to and studying him with him. And I feel like in that time, obviously, growing up, trying to figure out, oh, it's a checklist kind of thing. But more along the lines of, I feel like what I kind of recognize in my time, just really being with him and stuff, is it's an open dialogue. It's something, a conversation with the Lord. And so I ask a lot of questions, a lot of different questions, and just kind of saying like, all right, Lord, first of all, before I open up his word, I ask him, speak to me. And then after that, I'm like, wherever your eyes, wherever you want me to see, open it. And so when I read, like, let's say Ephesians 1, I'm reading, I was right today. I didn't even get through the whole thing. it was more of like God highlighting a certain word. And I'm like, all right, Lord, what about that word is intriguing? What is it about yours trying to speak to me? And that's where the study Bible comes in. Or it's even just like him just allowing myself to just quiet the room and sit there. And I feel like the Lord just opens up that open time to me. And sometimes he'll give me a picture. Sometimes he'll just make me cry. Not a crier, but with him, yes, all the time. and it's just so good to kind of just listen to him, because sometimes it could even be like a picture or even someone just coming to mind and God's asking me to pray for that person or something like that. And so, or even in that, or even what is God trying to do and fix my heart in this situation that I'm in, or even just wanting to go to him. And then after that, it goes into, after I'm done and I like do my highlight journal, I just lay down and I just listen to him for like a good 4 to 5 minutes. I have it just quiet in my room and I just let him speak. Sometimes, maybe there's times where he doesn't say anything, but I just love that in those moments when it's just really quiet, things that come to mind are just the blessings that he has given me. And one of those is my dog, Spock. He's definitely amazing. Spock, yes. and he has definitely been one that is just, and it just makes me think of like the Lord every single time, because when I get home from work, he's the one jumping at my feet. He's the one excited to see me. When I wake up in the morning, he's right there in my face. And that's Jesus. That's how Jesus sees us. And so I feel like that's what I just love about my dog and how he just reminds me of those blessings of how God sees each and every one of us. And then prayer is a big part of my testimony, I will say, like growing up where I did culturally and everything we've talking about, culture, prayer is something that's huge and definitely was in the war room for a really long time. So I feel like in that time when I ask, I feel like there's actually specific questions. I know I'm running out of time, but I just wanted to leave you guys with these questions that I usually say every morning as well. And these questions just kind of help me more along to take the things off of like, okay, Lord, of all the things I'm going through, how am I going to share this? What is it? How can I share you with everybody? And those questions are, what is on your heart and how do you want me to participate in your plans today? What stronghold do you want to demolish in the place of prayer today? What need do you want to meet through me today? What hope do you want to extend through me today? What wrong do you want to right through me today? What injustice do you want to cease through me today? What suffering do you want to end through me today? What pain do you want to comfort through me today? And then what words of life do you want spoken through me today? And I feel like each of those questions may seem like a lot, but I feel like the Lord just ends up highlighting things. And these questions are kind of like on my heart throughout the day of like, how am I going to share this with other people? How am I going to continually purposely think of his word on what he taught me and my word with him? So I just hope that through that encourages you guys. And I will say Monday through Fridays like that. Weekends, my rest day, I feel like Scott was saying, like, talk about your weekends. What does that look like? What I found is that the verse that comes to mind is in Nehemiah where he says, your joy is the strength of the Lord. That's what brought me to Jesus, was joy. And joy isn't just like us. Yes, it's laughter and everything, but there's also things that he brings in from that. So like my joy is hiking. My joy is playing basketball and with my dog. My joy is eating and healthy. And being with my nieces and nephews. So that actually is a part of my rest day. So not only am I in the Word, but I'm choosing to be engaged in that and reminding of God's joy in that every day. So like playing basketball with other people, going hiking with other people, just being in God's presence and thinking of Him purposely.
Drop them in the WhatsApp group. Okay. Be great. Thank you. It's good stuff, huh? Yes. So all of that, like I said, is fair game. Grab something you heard from her own walk with Jesus and say, I'm going to try that. Because there's a richness she's developed. There's a richness of relationship that she's developed over years. And we can all grow from that. She's an example to us. So, amen. Okay. Hey, we're going to go a little faster here. You guys ready? So there's four more distinctives of who we are. The next one is that we will seek His face. I'm sorry, we will seek His kingdom in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our life group, our young adult and career community, and our families. The lost are saved, and the prodigals are rescued and discipled to become followers of Jesus. This is another distinctive of who we are. We're growing in it, but God's called us to be rescuers. And sometimes that means we got to step over our own struggles to say, how do I love someone today? Okay, this is who we are. And we're growing in it. And that's why we do Matthew parties in our life groups. That's why we say every 5-6 weeks, we're going to invite our friends. We're going to try to bring people in. We're going to have fun together. And we're going to make relationships with people that don't know Him or people that are far from Him. Because if we do our life internally and say, I want my little community of Christian friends, and the lost is dying and going to hell around us, then we miss everything. The heart of God is that we have our friends in our community and we look outward to invite others into it. There's a richness of Jesus and us, the culture, that the lost and the prodigals need us. They need what God has in us. And so that is who we are. And so with this is that the prayer and fast that was mentioned in 2 weeks, week and a half. There is a bookmark under everyone's chair that I want to give to you. This is some practicals about fasting. If you've never fasted before, there's some practical things, both of just what is fasting, how to do this, and then also just some how to prepare your heart, that kind of stuff. John Mark Comer has some great stuff on fasting. If he's got some videos and things like that that you can check out. God's Chosen Fast is another OG book that have been around for years, but it's called God's Chosen Fast. It's short. It's great handrails to how to fast. Okay, so fasting, basically what I'm asking for everyone and people that are not here, that are in your life group, that we're taking this back and we're saying, okay, the fast is coming. Our community fast is coming. It's the 13th through the 15th. So we're saying, God, what do you want from me? And He might tell you, hey, I want you to only have water and juice for 3 days. And I want you to pray. He might tell you, hey, every day at lunch, your fast is to actually sit with me and read my word. He might tell you, hey, your fast is actually to clear your social schedule so every night you're spending time with me or you're going to life group. I don't know what He will tell you, but a fast is saying we're going to put aside some things around us because we want more of Him. We long for more of Him. And it's personal and it's community, okay? So we're going to end that time on the 15th. Back here, 7 o'clock, it's going to be fun. We have a lot of worship. We're going to be praying for different things. Hopefully Flagstaff, we need to talk. But we want to look outward. We're not going to, it's much about internal. We're going to look at Jesus and we're going to look outward and we start praying for different things. And we're going to see God start changing things around us. And it's going to be fun, okay? So part of our culture is that it was a normal part of our time with our relationships and our community is that we would have half night of prayers periodically. So we would start at 7 and we'd finish at like 2 or 3 in the morning. It was awesome. It was rich. And you might go, how can you worship that long? I'm telling you, the time is gone in a moment. It's so fun. Okay, so we're not going to go till 2 and 3 necessarily. But it's the first step for us in pursuing God and seeing His kingdom more established in our relationships. It comes from prayer. It comes from intercession. It comes from worship. Okay, so I just want to encourage you to really, let's take this seriously. and see what God does through us. Okay, the next one. Here we go. Faster. We will love the church, the bride who Jesus gave himself for. All right? This is a part of who we are. We are not complainers. We are not those Pharisees that sit back and judge and critique everything that's out there. Instead, we say, the word is coming to me, and so I will let it transform my life. Okay? So here's a really practical one. On a Sunday morning, if this is you, just let the conviction settle a little bit and move you forward. Personally, it grieves me at times to look around when worship starts and maybe a third of the seats are full. By the end of worship, maybe most of the seats are full. I think we need a deeper revelation of what church is. Scripturally, when hungry hearts gather and start to look towards Jesus, he is drawn to that hunger. Scripturally, the angels in heaven are drawn to, they are worshipers as well. And when they find a group of people worshiping wholeheartedly, they join in. There is an unseen world that is affected by our worship. And we need to take seriously that it's a Sunday morning. Oh, okay, I'll show up in the third or fourth song. It'd be fine. If you did that on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, you wouldn't have a job on Saturday. How much more for the King of Kings when we gather with the people of God to worship him? Do we need to give him honor and show up hungry? Okay? Okay, everyone feel loved? I love you. Here's my dream. If we show up on a Sunday morning and we fill that room with hunger, I don't know what God's gonna do. But I can't wait to see what he will. But if he sees a complacency, he sees I'll show up when I wanna show up. I just don't know if he sees hunger. I don't know, and that's only between you and him. I'm not sitting back judging. I'm just saying, let's show up hungry by showing up on time. Okay? Life group's the same, coming to abide. It's not a time thing, it's a hunger thing. Does that make sense? I love you. Jesus is worth everything. And there's something about God's dream for the church, Big C Church, and our little church, and this here is an expression of a church in your life group, expression of a church. There is a heart of God that is burning for his people to be in love with him. And that means we gather together and we long for him to show up and to work through us and to love through us and to see people healed and restored. But it won't happen if we're complacent or lulled to sleep. Okay. Number four. We will not let the pain of life define or distract us. Yep. This is another distinctive of who we are and where we're going. Okay. We all have pain. If you want a good pain story, listen to I think it was July Abide. I shared one of my top three deeply painful life experiences. And I shared it vulnerably because I wanted you to hear that my pain may not be your pain, but all of us have pain and confusion. And I had choices to make in those times. But I decided in my life, and we decide in our lives, that our pain, our broken families, our broken relationships, our lost jobs, those things are real in life, but they will not define us and they will not distract us. We will make one thing our one thing. All right? Okay, so one of the practical ways we're doing that is listening prayer. Has anyone ever received a listening prayer? Raise your hand. Okay. It is a couple hour time with someone that's gone through some training to help you hear God in a specific situation or to just go, I need a little house cleaning. I'm just being distracted. And I guarantee God shows up every time. And it is mind blowing. I have the privilege of sitting through and leading a lot of these sessions. It's crazy. It's beautiful. Okay. Another one, Jeremy's involved with Sozo at Two Rivers. And it's this very similar concept. He and I have talked and shared notes and it's wild when God shows up. It's beautiful. So listening prayer is one thing that we have said we are growing a team of people that have been trained in this to help us encounter God and get more whole and free. Because we all have pain. It's what do we do with that pain? Will it define us or distract us, or will we live victorious? Another one is that we, restoring the foundations. Bridget, there you are. Yeah. Bridget's life was radically transformed when she went to a thing. They were in another state this in the fall or in the spring. And God met with her in pretty significant ways, but it's called Restoring the Foundations. Anyone ever heard of that? No? Two, three people? Okay. Essentially, it's basically, it's just a thorough renouncing, repenting. Let's look back at my life with some people that understand how to walk you through it. And it's just cleaning house. It's like deep work. The Spirit of God's involved. It's awesome. So we're gathering some people to actually get trained to be able to help us get more free and whole. All right? So there's the pain of life, and then there's just my choices in life. And how do we repent through those? How do we get more free? How do we get let go of the baggage? Okay. Another thing, again, along these lines of just how do we get more whole and free what was that last one? Sorry. Oh, deliverance. Yeah. There you go, Tess. These are three different, very distinctive ways to help us be more free. And so that for me in the fall is an instruction from the Lord is I want to grow in this. And I'm hoping to have some other people that say, I want to grow in helping people be delivered from demonic oppression and things like that. Okay. We want to be whole and free. And it is all of our opportunity to do that. And we will grow in it. Okay. Last one. You ready? We long to see God's glory. For him to manifest his love expressed through power. About a year and a half ago, I was praying before Abide, and I felt like God said, I don't want you to ever have another Abide where you don't give the Holy Spirit a chance to express my love through power. That is why every time we make room with prophetic words, with words of knowledge, with praying for healing, every time, and lives are being transformed. There are people in this room that have encountered God because of those times. And that is, I want it to bleed over into life groups. I want it to bleed into Sunday morning. It is the heart of God when we gather as he heals and he restores. Okay? So this is a part of who we are, unashamedly. So in life group, if you're not praying for the sick, if you're not praying for someone that's struggling with depression and believing that your prayers actually can set them free in a moment, it's time to start. Yeah. Sovereignty of God. He will move, but he loves it when we believe him for the impossible. He will move, but he loves it when we believe him for the impossible. Again, complacency doesn't necessarily bring breakthrough, but a hunger, a desperation of faith, the prayer of the righteous man's powerful and effective, that changes things. All right? Okay, so we're done. You guys okay? Got a little bit of time? Everyone sleepy? No? Okay. So let me go over this real quick again, and then we're just going to spend some time responding here, okay? First, personally, and then we wanted also, as we always do, like I said, number five, we always want to gather and say, Holy Spirit, do whatever you want in us right now, okay? There was a guy in June that was here. One of your friends, no? Anyways, he's sitting here, new guy, never come to Abide. There's a word of knowledge about, what is anyone here for this? Okay. About a headache.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a headache. And it was like, that pain is there, and he was really scared because it was like, and I didn't know who it was, but I sensed God saying to ask this. He was really afraid that it wasn't just another headache, that there was actually something seriously wrong. I said, is that anyone? And he raised his hand. I didn't know who he was. And so as we are as a community, everyone gathered around him, laid hands on him, prayed for him. Afterwards, I said, hey, did anyone, there's a few more people got prayed for physical things. And there's a guy in the back. Do you guys remember this one? There's something about his right side, I think. God healed him that night. And this guy gave his life to Jesus a couple months previous. He got baptized at Easter, got healed him. This young man, first time visiting, a friend invited him. And a friend led him to Jesus when he was in high school, and he invited him. He'd never come before. And in that moment, I said, hey, did anyone got prayed for? Did God do anything? And I noticed that the guy that brought him nudged him, and he's like, oh, okay, fine. And he goes, yeah, it was me. The pain's completely gone. And so I said, come up and share. And he had the microphone, and I was like, I don't know him. So I was like, oh, no, you know, but whatever. But he goes, he was like, it's gone. The pain is completely gone. And he said, I came tonight because my friend invited me and I didn't know what to expect. And this is not what I expected. And I was like, I'm sitting there going, dude, this is culture. Yes. that I hope when people walk in here, they go, oh, these people are different. There's a glow in their eyes. They're in love with someone, someone otherworldly, someone so much bigger than this earth. Okay? This is who we are, and this is where we're going, right? So let's see. Why don't we read these out together? So Cassandra talked about declarations, and declarations are biblically grounded statements that are true and need my heart, mind, soul, and strength to come in line with this truth. Okay? So why don't we, let's do all this. Let's all stand. What I want us to do is read through each one of these together. And then I'm going to take a little bit of time to respond personally, but just by reading through some of what we read through in Psalms 27. Okay, Ian, do you mind coming up and playing a little something? You guys ready? Let's read the first one together. You guys ready? Okay, here we go. We will each have an intimate, consistent relationship with Jesus that grows in trust in him and leads to radical obedience to him. Number two, we will seek first his kingdom in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, our life groups, and our community, and our families. The lost are saved and the prodigals are rescued and discipled to become followers of Jesus. Number three, we will love the church, the bride who Jesus gave himself for. Number four, we will not let the pain of life define or distract us. And number five, we long to see God's glory, for him to manifest his love expressed through power. Ooh, amen. Okay. Just a little side note. This is usually on Mondays or Tuesdays, we put the messages on Spotify, and also in our young adult WhatsApp chat, our young adult career WhatsApp chat, I link all of the notes from the message. And so I'll get Cassandra's, her declaration she talked about, and I'll put that in there. And these will be in here as well. But I want to encourage you, right now I want to ask a question. What do you do with this to let this change you? God's inviting us to simplicity again. Just everything else comes under the one thing. This is who we are. This is who we're growing to become. I was thinking about number three earlier, and I was like, on a Sunday morning, do we set the tone for worship? Can people in the room that are not sitting in that left-hand section feel hunger? Okay, the same at Central. Yes, amen. It's the same way. It just, the young adult career's there. They're part of our family, and it's the same question. Do they set the tone for who that church is? Are they the hungry ones? It's real, and it's a choice we can make. But it all goes back to number one. Okay? All right. So let's do this. Why don't we spread out? We're gonna spend some time worshiping here, okay? You could stay in your seat if you want, but you're welcome to spread out. Just wherever you can go that you're not distracted. I want to read this, the 4-6 over us. And then I just want us to take a few minutes to really stay in this place of these promises of who he is. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwellings. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above my enemies who surround me. At his sacred and at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Some of you guys need to just, the shouts of joy overcome the pressures of the enemy. Like, you have freedom to express his freedom tonight. Some of you guys, I think this, just this one thing idea, it's like, maybe life's just been tangled. I was praying for us earlier tonight, earlier in the afternoon, and that phrase kept coming to mind, God, disentangle us. Are there things that you just feel life has tangled you up? Good news, you can leave all of that here tonight. It's amazing. And I think finally, just this final thought, and we're just going to spend a little time, just you and Jesus. Verse 5, it says, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And there are some of you here tonight that I think that you might not feel comfortable approaching him because you don't feel safe with him. And I just, would you let him touch you tonight in a way that makes you feel safe? And I just, if you know if that's you, that's going to ring in your heart. Because you're like, I don't know, I don't feel comfortable approaching him because I don't know if he's going to be mad at me. I don't know if he's going to hit me. I don't know if he's going to reject me. I don't feel safe around him. It's okay, but don't live that way anymore. You don't have to from tonight on. So be honest with him. Okay, so we're going to take a little time here. Ian's going to lead us in a song. And just in your own heart, before him, let him do some work. Let him do some work.